come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
And Lord, we just give you our full attention right now, God. We give you full access, Lord. God, have your way in us. We know you're here. We know you're real. We know you are God and we are not. Oh God, get your highest praises tonight, Lord. May the praises continue tonight, Lord, as we just remember that you're the God that saves and you're the God that heals and the God that delivers and the God who's able to make us stand in awe of your majesty, of your glory, your power, God, of your wisdom, of your sovereignty. Lord, we just yield ourselves to you right now. We bow our hearts, God, before you. We give you our full attention because you're worthy of all of our attention tonight, God. You know, I pray your spirit would come upon all of us in power, that you would quicken our spirits, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to each one, God, personally, privately, maybe, intimately. God, that you would give us eyes to see you, open up our eyes, that you'd get the respect that you deserve, God, here in this place tonight, that we would hold your word in highest esteem above all other words and all the words, God, that we've heard this weekend. Lord, may your word stand highest. Amen. And may we give it the utmost respect, Lord, that it deserves. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, you guys can take a seat.
All right, here we go. Here we are, ladies. Okay. You know, I like that some of you are taking home with you adapter dye. I kind of have some sort of pleasure in that. But, you know, there's God's grace. There are times, seasons, where it's just like making those adjustments to the new season, the new reality of what your life might be. There's God's grace. You know, there's God's grace there, and you might not see it today, but like, hey, it's waiting for you. It's going to be there, and there's God's grace to help us make those adjustments. He's already gone up ahead of us, you know, in all these predetermined times and pre-appointed seasons. God's already gone before us, and he's made every preparation, every reservation. I like that we've heard sort of a common theme about how God has prepared us sometimes for this, you know, season that's ahead. He's preparing us now, you know, for that season. And let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. That's Psalm 33:8. Hey, the thing that we stand in awe of will be the thing that influences and motivates all of our decision making. And when we stand in awe of God, he's going to be the one influencing and motivating our decisions. Hey, this poem of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, the poem of Ecclesiastes, it's an account of Solomon being self-willed, determining to control his own seasons, his own times. And he was determined to do things his will, you know, his way, his time. And that's what the poem is all about. From his extensive experiences, he learns a lot of things that he shares with us in the poem, but two, you know, main conclusions he really lifts up and draws out of all of those many and various pursuits of his. And one of them is that all is vanity without God being your chief pursuit. You know, your end goal and chief pursuit. And secondly, he realized that he's God and I'm not. So everything is vanity without God as your chief goal and the center of all you do. Solomon said that pursuing anything, even good God things, without God being the chief and center of your pursuit would end in vanity. It would be a meaningless chasing of the wind. It would be marked by futility and frustration and feelings of emptiness. If you tonight, and you're here in this season and time of your life, and you are experiencing feelings of futility, of frustration, emptiness, a lack of inspiration, a lack of meaning, maybe feelings of discontentment, you find yourself complaining, criticizing. Hey, these feelings, these things are red flags. Don't ignore them. If you're feeling these things, if you've been experiencing these sorts of things in this season of your life at this time, don't ignore these things, because this is really the mercy of God working via the Holy Spirit deep within your soul, saying, hey, stop. Rethink, redirect. Is God himself your chief end, your chief pursuit? You know, God is here. God is real. He is God, and I am not. These red flags, these feelings are really the Holy Spirit tugging on your soul. You know, they're saying, the Holy Spirit's saying, recognize God again. Recognize that he's here. Acknowledge that he's here. I was talking, I forget, was it Kathy? I was talking to you earlier today, and we were talking about, like, it's one thing to recognize somebody's here, and it's a whole other thing to acknowledge somebody is here. You know, you can, if you're married and the husband's in the house, you'd be like, yeah, the husband's home. But are you ignoring him? Do you give him the time of day? Have you acknowledged that he's in the house? You know, because it's one thing to know somebody's in the house, and it's a whole other thing to actually acknowledge, hey, hon, you know, how's it going? You know, how was your day? And to commune, to fellowship, you know. And Solomon determined that he would use all of his resource, all of his time, all of his energy to pursue the thing that he hoped would bring the satisfaction that he was longing for and wanted. And if any man ever had the means to do that, it was Solomon, right? Much more than any of us will ever have the means to pursue whatever we wanted to pursue or thought would bring us satisfaction or happiness. In the first few chapters of Ecclesiastes, I took some time to just go through chapters 1 and 2, and I consolidated a few of the self-willed statements that Solomon made. And so I'm just going to sort of quickly list them off and read them off. The self-willed statements that Solomon was determining, you know, in his heart, in his mind. He said, I set out. I said in my heart, come now. I searched for gratification. I made my works great. I built myself. I planted myself. I made myself. I acquired. I accumulated. I cultivated. I became great. I excelled. I did not withhold. I turned fully. I hated. I despised. I despaired. All of these pursuits were of no profit. Everything he pursued, vanity, fleeting, futile, frustrating, meaningless. Because they were determined by Solomon's own wisdom. They were determined by his own will, determining to do it his way and go his way and in his own time. We can pursue many good God things, but if God himself and his glory is not our chief end, it will be futile. Solomon's sort of second thing that he lifts up and out of all of these pursuits and experiences is that he is God and I am not. That God has a predetermined, preordained will governed by his perfect wisdom, goodness, and justice. That God sees and understands everything from beginning to end. And Solomon was ultimately left in awe of God's sovereignty. Of his supreme sovereignty. Solomon realized God is in control, I'm not. What a relief. That was another word God gave me in this week leading up to this retreat, was relief. And I know that's what he has in mind for many of you, if not all of you. is relief. It's a relief to know God is in control. I am not. Be relieved. Exhale, ladies. He's in control. He said, I know that whatever God does is final. That's 3:14. Nothing can be added or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him. Wisdom is recognizing that God is in control of the times and the seasons of your life. One of the most awesome and glorious things that the Bible says about God is that he rules over all things. Colossians 1, and if you want to turn there really quickly in your Bibles, you can. I'm going to read just verses from chapter 1 of Colossians 16 through 18. You know, Colossians 1, especially like maybe verse 14 on to the end of that chapter, it is a go-to portion of the Bible for me. I found during lockdown and COVID, I was given the opportunity to lead worldwide prayer online through Facebook, through Calvary Chapel Global Network, through Facebook and Instagram. So every night, and I started out every single night by carefully choosing verses to declare that were about God himself and about his sovereignty and about God being the one who's in control, reigning and ruling, because we need our minds constantly reset on those facts in every season. So verse 16, for in him, that is Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Women, if God is holding all things created together, he's holding your stuff together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy over your life, over your seasons, over your times, over your stuff, over your thoughts, over your will, over your way, over your time, that God would be held in the highest regard. He's already in supremacy over it all, but we, just like the devil, usurp that authority and try and grab control back. He already owns you. You're his precious possession. He redeemed you by the blood of Jesus. You've been bought. You don't belong to yourself any longer. Your way, your time, it's not even your time. It's not your time. It's his. Your life belongs to Jesus. Okay, we need to stand in awe of the supreme sovereignty of God's will, way, and time, to reverence it, honor it, and highly regard it much more than we have been. The best that we can do in every season, every time, is to come under the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's the best, the most we can do in every season to come, in this season, in every time, come under the Son, to submit to his sovereign will, way, and time. This is how we remain in harmony with God in every season. Harmony, I mean, that's peace with God in every season, no matter what the season holds. And do you know where joy comes from? It comes from peace with God. You do not have joy without peace with God, without being in harmony with his Holy Spirit in the best of times and in the worst of times. Self-will will kill. It will kill love. It will kill joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Self-will will kill your faith, man. It will just eat it alive. Exodus 32, the children of Israel at the bottom of Mount Sinai, as Moses is sent up by God to go receive the Ten Commandments, and the children of God are told to remain there at the base of the mountain and wait. right? And day after day goes by, and as every day passed, they're growing a little more anxious, a little more concerned, a little more weary, you know, worried about, like, where's Moses? Where's our leader? And what's happened to him? And is he even coming back? And what are we going to do? Have we just been left here to die? What are we going to do for food? What are we going to do for water? What are we going to do with our kids? What are we going to do? Let's make ourselves a god. Because we, you know, we don't even know if we have a god. We don't know if we have a leader. So they make themselves a god, right? The golden calf. They make themselves a god so that they could go where they wanted to go and do what they wanted to do. You see, they feared not having. For them, it was a fear of not having enough. Ultimately, their fear was rooted in God not providing. But you tonight, you can fill in the blank in this season that you're in right now. What are you fearing? That God will not provide what in this season? Their fear and unbelief motivated their actions, their will, their way, their time, right? They made themselves their own God, made themselves a God they could control, to take them where they wanted to go so they could do what they wanted to do. Now, I was blown away by this random verse that God sent my way this week, 2 Kings 17:33. It's talking about the children of God, the children of Israel. They feared the Lord, yet they served their own gods. Whoa. Okay, think about that for a second. Think about that. They feared the Lord, yet they served their own gods. I mean, I just even take that one home with you, ladies, and meditate on that. And I mean, that is convicting, because I am sure every one of us want to sit in here and say, yeah, I fear the Lord, or I wouldn't even be here. I fear the Lord. You know, I've seen God work in my life. I've stood in awe of God before. I fear the Lord. But are you making yourself your own gods to take you where you want to go, to do what you want to do? A God that you can control. Maybe you've made yourself your own God, your own little God. In every season and time, we need to come under the Son of God. We need to submit ourselves to His will, His way in the season, or we're going to make ourselves a God to take us where we want to go, to do it, do what we want to do. Our faith response in every season is to remain in harmony with God. That is to surrender and to submit to His will, His way, His time. His will, His way, His time. Your will, Your way, Your time. Harmony. It's accord, it's agreement, it's peace, it's friendship, it's fellowship, it's cooperation, unity, like-mindedness, unison, oneness. Does that describe your life with God today? What are the opposites? Dissonance, that's tension, clashing, from a combination of two disharmonious things. It's incongruity. That's a state of being out of keeping. It doesn't go together. It's disagreement. We all know what that is. Dissent, squabbling, wrangling, dispute, controversy, debate, discord, division, contention, argument, wrangling, wrestling, clanging. It's described as a tug of war, a turf war. Does that better describe what's going on in your soul today? Hey, the Holy Spirit is at work in your life right here, right now, tonight. He's at work right now, getting you into harmony with God. Okay, He's patient, He's gentle, He's kind, He's graceful, but tonight is a night He wants to get you in harmony with his Spirit. Hey, God has supplied his grace helping you to trust him tonight in this season. And the Holy Spirit is at work. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not at work in God trying to get God into harmony with you. The Holy Spirit is not trying to convince God to get along with your will, your way, your time. The Holy Spirit's at work in us, trying to get us aligned with God's will, God's way, God's time. Harmony begins by surrendering and submitting to God's will, way, and time. God's will. If you need wisdom to know God's will for your life, guess what the beginning is, the starting point. Wisdom for his will. What's the starting point? Fear of the Lord. You're in the right place at the right time. If you need to know the will of God for your life, you start with the fear of the Lord. Acknowledge, recognize his presence here and now. He is here. He is real. He is God. I am not. God's will, we know, is revealed in every page of the Bible. His will is something that we can usually agree with, align ourselves with, right? He wants to save, heal, and deliver. We want salvation, healing, deliverance. He wants to reconcile, restore, revive, renew. Hey, we want that, right? We can agree with that. He wants us to be fruitful in every season. We want that. Hey, he wants to bless us. Yes, we want that. He wants us to be a blessing. Well, we want that until we realize that blessing means to bleed. Maybe we're having trouble there. Hey, he wants to transform us more and more. He doesn't want to make us a better Christian. He wants to transform us and make us like Christ. He wants us to make us like Jesus. Okay? And we want that until it starts to wrench our guts. Metamorphosis, transformation. When a caterpillar makes its chrysalis and it's inside the chrysalis, its guts begins to liquefy in the morphing, in the metamorphosis into that beautiful butterfly. It is gut-wrenching sometimes, gut liquefying to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus because it hurts the old woman. Gut-wrenching. Hey, he wants to be glorified in our life. We want him to be glorified. He wants to purify us, to sanctify us. And we want to want that until it starts to burn, till we start to suffer. He wants us to marvel and be amazed by him. And hey, I know we are all longing for that. If you are searching for God's will tonight, will you submit your life to him again now? You don't even need to wait till the end for prayer time. You can just do that right now. Open your hands. Wait for God to give. Wait for him to do that. He knows how to give to you. You don't have to go get for yourself. You don't need to grab and get for yourself, child of God, daughter of the King. He knows how to bring it to you. He knows what you need. He knows what's best for your life. You can open your hands. You can allow God to fill your hands. You can allow God to take away what is not his will. Tonight, if you don't know his will, just open your hands. Your will, your way, your time. God's way, it's holy. It's separate. It's other than, it's unique. David said in Psalm 18, God's way is perfect, meaning pure. It has integrity. It's healthful. It's wholesome. It speaks not only of a direction and a path, but of a manner and an attitude and a character, right? Not just how we do, or not just doing something that's God's will, but doing it His way, the way we do God's will, right? We say that to our kids if you're a mom all the time, you know. In fact, I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, like when they would do something that was not God's way, you know, they'd be in the back seat and maybe one of them would say something like not very nice to the other one, or was short or impatient with the other one. And I would mercifully, a mentor mom or somebody equipped me with this. I didn't think of this. But I had heard her speak about this once, and she said, hey, how about being like God as far as on the mom end of things and having a godly response to your kids not doing things God's way? How about you do things God's way and be merciful and say, hey, child, would you like to try that again God's way? And it's a merciful way of giving them a second chance because they know God's way. Instead of slamming them with a consequence right away, it gave them a chance to redo. You want to try that again God's way this time? And I love that God does that for us all the time, every day, all through the day, as the Holy Spirit checks our attitude, checks the manner, checks the path. You know, would you like to try that again my way? You might be agreeing or in harmony with God's will, but are you doing things His way, or is there a turf war going on? He won't let you rest until you surrender to His way. When we surrender and submit to God's perfect way, He'll show us the path of life. He'll teach us the good and right way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to it. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. But if you are a child of God here tonight, you have found it. You have found Him. Jesus is the way. You know the name of the highway that He's called you to walk on. What's the name of the highway? Holiness. Look it up. It's in the Bible. It's in Isaiah. The highway of holiness. He's called you to walk on it. Hey, it is not too late to go God's way. If you're here tonight and just, man, you're feeling the mercy of God, you're feeling the tug from the Holy Spirit, that tug of war, and you're realizing, man, I have been doing things my way. God's so merciful. It's not too late to turn and go God's way. Repent. He's changing your mind. Now change your direction. Go God's way. Grace is on that road. She'll walk with you. Would you like to try it again? The Holy Spirit would say, God's way. God's time. For everything under the sun, there's a season and a time, a God-appointed time, a predetermined time, a right time, a proper time. For everything in your life, from the day you were born till the day you die, everything that has been, is, and will be have been foreordained by Him. And He's determined the times before their start and their duration and their end. He has the times and the seasons in His own power and authority. And this is something to stand in awe of again tonight. Our part in every season and time is to get into sync, get into rhythm with the Holy Spirit. In this season that you're in right now, in this time, get in sync, get into rhythm with the Holy Spirit. And I think this proves to be our biggest challenge. I think sometimes beyond His will and beyond His way is God's time or timing, right? The temptation is we build an expectation when we align ourselves with God's will and we align ourselves when we do it God's way. And then we expect, okay, I've done my part. Now, God, you do yours. And the expectation is that you fulfill according to my time now, right? And it's always hard, we grow weary under the weight of the weight. We are ready to harvest, but the fruit isn't ripe yet. We want time to slow down and it seems to speed up, right? Or we want things to speed up and it seems like they slow down. And we're out of step with the Spirit. If we're not in unison with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be noisy in your soul. Maybe not during the day because you keep yourself so busy and there's so much noise, but when you lay down at night, maybe in the middle of the night, you hear the clanging, the banging, the wrangling going on. It's the Holy Spirit ringing a bell. And not good. A lot of clanging and noise when we march to the beat of our own drum. Hey, wisdom lies in knowing that the Alpha and the Omega is in control of the beginning and the end of every season. It's a grind for man to appoint a time. It's wearisome, futile, vain, meaningless, a meaningless chasing after the wind. It leads to disappointment. Disappointments when we don't get what we want when we want it or when we expect to get it, right? And it opens the door to frustration, depression, anxiety, hopelessness. Demanding your own time is dangerous. It's out of God's order. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, to those who trust and who are willing to surrender and to submit and to wait on his appointed time. You know, probably I'm thinking many of us, because I think God just gives this to us when we become his child and his maidservants. He gives us a field. You know, if you're a mom, a wife, your field is your family or your marriage. And these are like fields that we have for long seasons. You know, there's a continual sowing and planting. I just did like a week and a half of sowing and planting in my garden, and it's on your knees, and it's the hot sun beating on your back, and it truly is the sweat of your brow, and it's blisters on your hands, and prayer, and the practicals of tending the field of your family, or whatever field, God, long-term field, God has you planting and sowing in. Man, you can start to grow weary in the planting, the sowing, the watering, the cultivating. When, God, when are you going to answer the prayers? When are you going to fulfill the promises? The weight of the weight, it grows wearisome, you know? Galatians 6:9, women, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, that is Kairos time, that is God's appointed time, due season, we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. God gave me this verse this morning for that. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing a trail of seeds, will surely return with shouts of joy, carrying the sheaves of grain. I love that so much. Are you living that right now? Hold on to that. The harvest is coming. Don't give up. Don't grow weary waiting on God's perfect time. He's going to make all things beautiful in his Kairos time, in his appointed time. Hey, it is so important that we be in tune with what God has determined it is time for in our life. It's important, ladies. Don't leave tonight without checking in with God on his will, way, and time, and making sure you're surrendered and submitted. God has purposed a season under the sun for you right now. Determined a time, and it's so important that we don't try and usurp God's authority, power, determinations, and we try and take ownership of our own time, determining that we know what's best for this time. And I'm going to give you some examples from our cornerstone, our touchstone verses, Ecclesiastes 3:1. Right through whatever it is, 7, or I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head now how many verses it says there is a time, right? For a God-appointed time. I'm going to start with a time of rest. God, you know, and I love this one because, hey, this is like a weekly season, right? I mean, it's a weekly thing. God has appointed 7 days, 7 days in a week, and appointed 1 day of the week that we should rest. Why is it so important? Because God refreshes our awe on that day of rest. He brings us into a place of bearing down on Him and centering all our thoughts and our energy upon Him on that day, to think deeply, not shallow, about Him, to meditate upon Him, to allow Him to refresh you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, on that day of rest. A day of rest is not 2 hours at church. God appointed a day. This isn't legalism. I mean, I think this is like honoring, regarding that God knows best what's best for our time, what's best for our emotions, our mental state. It's so hard to be in awe of God during the week if you're just burned out. You don't have the energy to be in awe. You know, He wants to refresh your capacity to be in awe. So He appoints a day of rest, but we say, I'm not that tired, or I got this, or I don't need to rest, or 2 hours is good, and I've got stuff to do, or I want to be and do. You know, so we determine, we know what's best. And so we give Him the 2 hours, and we feel like we've checked something. You know, like, check, Sabbath, check. God wants to do so much more in your life if you would just give Him the time. The time. It's needful. He appoints a time in your life to uproot, but you sink, you determine you're going to sink your roots down even further into relationships, a home, a job, whatever it might be. He appoints a time in your life to mourn. To mourn your sin, to mourn your backsliding, to mourn a loss, but you insist on dancing. He appoints a time to tear down, maybe to simplify, to edit, but you determine to build up and to add. He determines a time to give up. Yeah, that's not popular psychology today, is it? Don't give up on your dreams. Never give up, right? He appoints a time to give up. A God-appointed time, a due season to give up. But we refuse, and we just keep searching, and we just keep going after it. He appoints a time to throw away, but we tighten our grip. We won't let go. He appoints a time to weep. Oh, but boy, do we not like to be sad. And oh, you shouldn't be sad. You're a Christian. And you shouldn't go through a season of sadness. And that's not healthy. Oh, boy, does God have a lot of other things to say about sorrow, godly sorrow. When He appoints a time to weep over your sin, Paul said, godly sorrow produces repentance unto salvation. There is a godly sorrow that God will appoint, a time for it that's right. Hey, but you decide, you know, no. And so maybe you numb yourself or push down the pain or you ignore. He appoints a time to refrain from embracing, to step back, to hold back, but you decide no and you step in closer. Maybe you hug tighter, you know. He appoints a time to tear, of separation, but you won't let go. And you're fixing and you're meddling, you're manipulating, you're trying to mend. My time moves me out of God's order, out of His proper time and place. We have to respect God's timing. The Holy Spirit wants to keep us in sync, in rhythm. Hey, every day, every hour, and every season, every time, this is where peace, harmony is at. And there's no joy without peace. And isn't this interesting? It always comes down to trust. I mean, everything, every word from the Lord, it always comes down to trust. trusting him, trusting that he knows best. Can you sit here tonight and genuinely say that you trust God's will, way, and time for your life for this season? What does it mean to trust him? Hey, believing there's a God and trusting God with your life are not the same. Knowing God, memorizing Bible verses and promises, and trusting God are not the same. When we say, I trust God, this is a heavy statement. A transaction takes place when we say, I am making you my trust, Lord. What it says is that I'm opening my hands, I'm letting go, I'm handing over that control, authority, ownership that I have usurped from God. It means letting go of ownership and relinquishing control, submitting my will, my way, my time to him. Bring it under the care and authority of God. Hey, bring the issue, the person, the problem, the relationship, the finances, the beauty, the health, the good things, the challenging things, the dreams, the desires, in and under God's authority to guard, to manage, to protect, to shelter, to provide for. He's going to do his best for you and those that you are concerned for. He's going to do his best, far better than we could do. Are you agreeing with God's will, way, and time? Are you determining the seasons and the time for your life? What needs to be handed over to God tonight? Your singleness? Your finances, your health, your husband or a desire for a husband, your children or your desire for children, your future, your dreams, your desires. Amen. What happens when we open our hands and we place it all back under the sun and we get ourselves back into harmony with God's will, God's way, God's time? Hey, it's like we get out of the way and step out of the way. And God's given direct access to just work in the season and work in the time and work in the people and the circumstances of your life. And, you know, you hand over the responsibility to God, so you're no longer the one managing and intervening, no longer the one problem solving. You've handed that over to God. And for you, the peace of God is established in your heart, deep within your soul. Harmony is beautiful. Harmony is pleasant. Whenever or wherever you're trying to exert your will, way, and time, if it's not aligned with God's, it's a place of conflict. Creating instability in your life, it's creating confusion and anxiety, and it's a place that's striving with God's spirit. It's a turf war. I want to ask you to stand. I want to ask you to stand tonight. And, you know, I want the turf war to end. And so does the Lord. We want his shalom to be established over our lives, in our homes, in our families, you know, in our sphere of influence. You know, and maybe you have never surrendered your life to God. Maybe this weekend it was just like, wow, God is here. God is real. Yeah, like revelation, like he's God, I'm not. And maybe that has been your revelation here this weekend. And maybe it's been a long turf war, you know. Maybe you've finally come to the end of your own strength and you need, you know it tonight, that you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and maybe for the first time. And, you know, if you're here tonight and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, and for the first time, so I know many of you have already done that, but if you want to do that right now, I just want to ask you, you can raise your hand, you can come forward right here, and we just want to pray with you and for you. And so if that's you, you can raise your hand up right now, and if not, you're going to have plenty more opportunity to do that tonight. And if you need to resubmit and surrender your life to Jesus tonight to declare your will, your way, your time, I just want you to
If you can agree with me in that, that you're ready to do that tonight in this season, this time, I want you just to join me in this prayer. And you can get down on your knees, you can get on your face, you can do whatever you want to do. Lord, God, we just bow our lives before you. God, we want to yield our all under your authority, God, under your sovereign, supreme rulership. God, we confess we have been the one trying to control, trying to determine what's best. We've been the one strategizing, God. Lord, we know there are things, God, I know there are things in my life that need to get into harmony with you. And so I stand here tonight, and first I just say, please forgive me. Forgive me for just going my own will, way, and time. And I just bring myself back under you, God. Oh, rule and reign over my life, Lord. Establish your will within me, God. Cause me to want what you want, to love what you love, to hate what you hate. Help me, God, to desire what you desire. Help me to forsake those things that are not a part of your will for my life, God. I open my hands to you right now. God, you can give, you can take away, have your way. Not my way, God, your holy way. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. Forgive me for my bad attitude. Forgive me, God, for going my own way. Oh Lord, thank you for your mercy, that even now you're giving me that opportunity to turn, to repent, and to go your way, to go your direction in the manner and attitude with which I know is pleasing to you, God. And Lord, I'm growing weary under the weight of the weight. And I just want to once again surrender the timing, God, of everything. I agree, God, your timing is best. And I will wait for you. I will not grab, I will not get for myself, but I will trust you, Lord. You're the one who promised, Lord, and you'll perform what you've promised. So, Lord, minister deeply to each one of our hearts as we just take this time to wait upon you, to let your spirit search our hearts, God. Bust through, God, the doors. May your grace just come through, God. Go deeper, Lord. Even now, I pray your grace would fall upon those who are just finding it hard to let go. Wait on you, Lord, and I thank you that, God, you've given many gifts here. You've given the Holy Spirit here, Lord, and God, you're able to minister to each one of us through those gifts, and every single one here is equipped by the Spirit to pray, to build up, to stir up faith, and to cheer one another up through prayer and through your word. And so, God, I pray, Lord, stir up those gifts and fan them into flame.
Open up my eyes, let me see. Open up a mouth, let me sing new songs to you. Covered up in grace, let me move on. I am not afraid to go where you want, to be closer to you. You are holy, you are perfect, you are just. You whisper gently, you are patient with us. I bow before you, knowing that you wait for me to come. In the quiet of my soul, I worship you. The past is in the past. I won't look back. I will keep my eyes looking to you. You love me so. Let the people go and say what they will. I am not ashamed. I'll follow you still, wherever you go. You are holy, you are perfect, you are just. You whisper gently, you are patient. I bow before you, knowing that you wait for me to come. In the quiet of my soul, I worship you. I just want to fall into your arms. I don't want to walk away from you. Oh God, will you beckon me to come? Oh God, will you beckon me? Whisper gently, you are patient with us. I bow before you, knowing that you wait for me to come. In the quiet of my soul, I worship you. In the quiet of my soul, quiet of my soul, I worship you.
God's mercy is so here tonight. His mercy is upon those who fear him. Thank you, God, that, Lord, you want to remove that burden of our sin, God. You want to bring relief tonight, God. You want to lift that off and you want to toss it away, God. And I thank you, Lord, that your mercy is here for each one of us, God, as you hear the confessions that are going up before you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your mercy meets truth. Just the truth as we, you know, confess. Yeah, Lord, I've been doing my own thing, you know, doing things my way, God. And thank you for your mercy that's met me here tonight, Lord. Thank you for your grace, God, that just sets my feet upon your path and walks with me, God.
thank you, Lord, that, you know, your way is perfect, and like David proclaimed, and you're making my way perfect, you know. Thank you that tonight is like a fresh start, a new beginning. The old things are passing away, God, and even tonight, beholding all things become new, and your mercy, your goodness have been following us all the days of our life. You know, before we move further tonight, just want to give opportunity to open things up for you to take communion with the Lord. There's the bread and the cup that are in the back. And as the Lord leads you, just, you know, but first taking the time to make sure, and you've surrendered and submitted, resurrendered, resubmitted your will, way, and time to him, that, you know, you have that peace with knowing that you're right with God tonight, remembering the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins, you know, that covers our sins, you know, makes us white as snow. And as you enjoy that freshness of being made right and new with God again, and enjoy communion with him tonight, connecting with his heart, just pressing into his presence and enjoying his fellowship here with you tonight. The fact that he's communed with you and spoken personally to your heart and extended his mercy and grace to you again. Will you remember his body that was broken for you? You know, with one offering, he perfected your sanctification. It's finished. It's done. He's made you complete in Christ. Will you just, wow. Oh, what a relief. Thank you, Lord. What a relief. It's already finished. You've already made me complete in Christ. I just want to enjoy that reality, God, of my standing with you, of my position in you, and my relationship with you, God. Thank you for your body and your blood. Thank you that you've made me more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you're always leading me in triumphant procession. Thank you that I can sing the victory song even tonight in this season, in this time. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a procession. This glorious sisterhood, God. Praising you and thanking you tonight as we rejoice in your sacrifice, and we rejoice in the victory of the cross as we take that communion, God, with you. And man, as I can just sense, so many hearts have just gotten right with God, and wow, that fresh surrender. And I almost like feel like I can hear an exhale in the room. I really like a freshness that's coming through in your life, a fresh wind, a fresh fire. And so just as the Lord leads you, you take communion. And as that's happening, now we are just, the Holy Spirit is inviting us to minister to one another. You know, the body of Christ was meant to minister, to build one another up in our most holy faith, to cheer each other up, to comfort one another in this season, to encourage each other, to trust again in the Lord in this season, at this time. To put your faith back in God, to hand over and relinquish. You can trust him, you know? Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that you would baptize each one of us again. Man, if you just need that fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you can sit down, receive it. You can lay whatever posture the Spirit is putting on your heart. You're free in here. And Lord, if that is you, God, you see your daughters who are lifting their hands to their good, good Father, the Father who gives good gifts, that doesn't withhold any good thing, who gives abundantly and generously, who does not portion out his Spirit, who does not portion out gifts. And I pray, God, even now, Lord, will you baptize each one of us afresh and anew in with your Holy Spirit, in the Spirit, that your Spirit would come upon us in power, that you would clothe us with power from on high, God, that you would pour out your spiritual gifts, your grace gifts, God, gifts that we can't earn and we can't go to school for. God, gifts that you give, God, from grace and received by grace right now, Lord. And if you want to pour out new gifts, because it's a new season for many women in here, and we might need new gifts for this new season, and I pray, God, you would give what is needful and necessary in the building up, God, and the cheering up and the stirring up of our faith. And Lord, that you would fan into flame the gifts that already exist here, God. And if there are your daughters in here that have just let gifts atrophy, Lord, that you would stir them up again, God, you know, Lord, that we'd even pray for one another for that, God. And Lord, I pray that you would just be pouring out through your Spirit many prophetic words right now, Lord, words, God, from you, Lord, for maybe somebody else in this room. And maybe the Lord's going to put a word on your heart. How do you know it's from the Lord? Well, will it build my sister up in her faith? Will it stir up her faith in God? Will it comfort and cheer up my sister to trust in God again? That's a great way to filter through. Is this just my, you know, am I just making this up? Or is this truly you, Lord? And maybe God's going to give you a word. In fact, he can give everybody in here a word. He can give you personally a word for you. Ask him, is this word for me? Or maybe it's for somebody else in this room, a single person. And maybe you can pray and ask him for that right now. Lord, will you give me a word for one of my sisters in this room? You might not even know her, but I pray, God, you would also pour out faith according to the you know, the measure. that God would just help you get your faith feet on tonight, to move to that person he might put on your heart, to pray for her, to give her that word of encouragement or exhortation, a word of hope, a promise from his word. Or maybe God might put a word upon your heart for all of us. And you're welcome to come up and share that word with all of us. Come to me and so, Lord, I thank you for your word and the power of your word, God. Thank you for your Spirit and the power of your Spirit, that dynamite power, that dunamis power, God, that raised Jesus from the dead, brought him back to life, and that power that's at work in each one of us right now, reviving, renewing, restoring. And I thank you, God, that you want to continue to minister here. So we ask that you would move in us, Lord. We're just your vessels, God. Really, we're just like your donkeys. Yes, Lord. Thank you that you call us to obey. Thank you that you give us grace and power to do your will, to obey your commands, God. And we know that if we love you, we'll obey you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Letting go, standing up, stepping out.